On the live line with us is Sonoma County Public Defender Kathleen Posey. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Pat.
It's Posey, just like the catcher, right? Not spelled, but pronounced.
That's correct. It's spelled Z-Z-I.
Is being a public defender one of the most challenging jobs in the universe?
Well, that would be hard for me to say since I was born in this office 32 years ago.
Okay.
And I haven't experienced any other employment.
It just seems like it would be a really tough job, and the way that that most of us who are way outside the profession think of it is that you have so many clients and you don't get paid enough money. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay. All right.
I will definitely agree with that.
I just wanted to make sure that my assessment had some truth to it.
No, it does. It does.
We're here to talk about something called the Humphrey decision. Can you first describe to us what that decision is?
Well, the Humphrey decision that came out a week ago Thursday held that the court may preventively detain a person that they deem by clear and convincing evidence has no less restrictive non-financial condition to hold them in on bail. So in other words, taking in the client's individual circumstances and their inability to pay cash bail must be taken into consideration for a pretrial release.
And of course, I would think that thing one in terms of consideration would be, are they a risk to society?
Well, the dangerousness to the community or to the victim is certainly one of those criteria, but even a more serious criteria would be flight risk, because if someone were able to afford bail, they may still be deemed a threat to the community.
Maybe more,
or to the victim.
Seems like they would be more able to get out of town if they want to.
Yeah, they can buy their way out of it, right?
And the whole crux of this, Kathleen, isn't it the difference between the treatment of the people with money and the people without?
Well, that's certainly what we have been saying for years in supporting SB 10, which is a bail reform bill. It's on its two-year cycle now, and we're hoping that it's going to be passed this year, which really, if you look at the Humphrey decision, it really looks a lot like the bail reform bill that, you know, we're hopeful is going to come into law later on this year.
Can you talk to us about someone or some circumstance in which a person ought to be out on bail but isn't at this point?
Well, I just took a random sampling of people that were in custody yesterday, especially on the misdemeanor level. One such fella, for example, is in custody on three separate cases. All three of those cases are drunken public. And if he could afford bail, he would be out of custody. But he doesn't have the financial means to post bail.
And so how long has he been held in jail with inability to pay bail?
This gentleman came into custody on January 2nd.
Okay, so over a month.
Yes.
And when might his cases actually come to court?
Well, he's been to court, and bail remained as it was set at bail schedule. It's important to note also that the Humphrey decision did not affect the bail schedules, and they are still deemed a valid tool for setting bail, but the court now has to take into consideration flight risk as well as the ability and or inability to post cash bail.
And this is not an uncommon circumstance where people are in for often misdemeanors. I would guess some more serious charges that don't necessarily imply any threat to the public. And in some cases, I hear about cases where people are in jail awaiting trial for months and months and maybe even longer than that because they can't pay their bail.
Pat, you're absolutely correct. We have quite a few clients that have been in jail for in excess of a year pending trial.
Wow.
On offenses that may be possession of stolen property over $950, theft over $950, or maybe possession for sale of narcotics, offenses such as that.
Yeah, it's probably not having a joint in your pocket anymore, is it?
No, I think you can actually have a joint in your pocket now. You'd be totally safe.
I think you'd be all
right. No worries.
But I think over the years, that has certainly been true. And it sounds like, Kathleen, that Sonoma County has been on the same page as this Humphrey decision for a long time.
Well, our county is extremely fortunate because we have a pretrial services in our county, which is a validated risk assessment tool. So every person who comes into custody has this report, we call it a SPRAT report, made up, which by the time they come into court on their very first appearance, we have this report available, which looks at, in the risk assessment, prior offenses, prior failures to appear, notation from the victim, if it's a direct victim crime, like spousal battery or assaults and things like that. So we've got this tool that's already set up, and unfortunately, it does not take into consideration the defendant's inability to post that cash bail.
Wow, that's kind of an interesting, sort of goes against the grain of the whole idea of it, that part is not taken into consideration. Is it the judge that decides on bail solely, or are other people involved too?
Well, of course, the district attorney will argue for generally that the bail remain as set at bail schedule.
Right.
And, of course, we argue the opposite. Now that we're entitled to this formalized hearing, we can literally bring in evidence and have a complete evidentiary hearing on the ability or lack of ability to pay. The Humphrey Court stated that the due process and equal protection require the court to determine whether the defendant has the ability to post bail before bail is actually set. It's the prosecution, however, that bears the burden by clear and convincing evidence that the person is a flight risk or a danger to the victim or community.
Yeah, it must be a tough act to balance between the two. And obviously, you know, most of us here on the outside looking in are most interested in whether some bad guys or gals are going to get out of jail, and you know, we have the opportunity to keep them in. That's, you know, sort of, I think, the general consensus living outside the system. And and your point of view when it comes to the people that you defend is?
Well, they're not guilty until they go to trial, and it's up to a jury to determine whether they're guilty or not guilty of the offense. So, of course, my position is people who are being held on bail pre-trial are presumed to be innocent, and yet they are locked up because they can't afford that bail. So it's, you know, really an equal protection and due process issue, constitutional issue, because they cannot get out solely because they are indigent. And, of course, all of our clients, by the very nature of our representation, are, in fact, indigent, which is of the, I think it's like 680 pre-trial persons that are in the jail. I'm sure we represent in excess of 600 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
So,
not just currently, at any given time.
Right, right, right. Wow, that's a lot of people. So how will this decision have an effect on Sonoma County and on your job as public defender?
Well, it's going to require us to look at each and every one of our clients that are in custody now and those, of course, that come in the future to require these hearings for the determination of their ability or lack of ability to afford bail. Because we have this validated risk assessment tool, I think our county is in much better shape in either having these formalized, fewer of these formalized hearings because that information is given to us right up front, you know, the first appearance.
Well, it sounds like a good idea in theory, at least. And when you're talking about the sort of numbers that you are, Kathleen, and the hundreds of people who are languishing in jail even as they await trial, it sort of seems like the right thing to do. take this up?
Yeah. So, sometimes in law, there's the right thing, and then there's the legal thing.
Right,
So we can argue that all day long. You know, what is, where does equity dictate? And it dictates nowhere in law.
Yeah.
Because we have statutes. And, there's still the statutory scheme on determining what bail, we start out at this level of a bail amount regarding the particular offense, and that's the starting point. Then the court has to ferret out various different things, flight risk, and what does that mean? Well, it ties to the community, family attachment,
right.
Property holdings, prior, where they have a flight risk and fail to appear on prior proceedings, and the severity of the potential sentence if convicted. So the court has to weigh all these things in making the determination, which was never unusual, but now what has to be put into that consideration is the their ability to afford bail.
Yeah. What a novel concept, huh?
It's
a novel concept that's been worked on for a long, long time. I know.
We have spoke of this many, many times.
Yes. And I'm sure we'll speak of it again too. And at some point in the future, Kathleen, love to have you back on the air with us and just talk about the concept of due process.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. We will do that for sure. Kathleen, thanks so much for being here and explaining the Humphrey decision. Hopefully it will make a positive difference for us right here in Sonoma County. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thank you and have a good day.